Freedom alert! Freedom alert! Freedom alert! This is Radio Freedom.
You can listen to this show anytime at www.freedomsite.org.
For our people, this is Paul Fromm reporting from Toronto. Today I'm talking to Mark Lemire, who is one of the real internet geniuses here in Canada. He was the one who brought discussion boards to the Canadian scene back over 10 years ago, and for years he's been the webmaster of something called the Freedom Site, which is hosted a number of different organizations and has done a great deal for the nationalist movement and for freedom of speech and immigration reform in Canada. Mark, of course, is one of those people who, like so many others across this dominion, has found himself a victim of professional censor Richard Warman. Richard Warman is a former employee of the Canadian Human Rights Commission. He no longer is an employee, but he filed at least a dozen complaints under Section 13.1 of the Canadian Human Rights Act against people who had posted things on the Internet that he didn't like, and also against people who had websites that he didn't like. And one of his victims is Mark Lemire, and his case is will soon move into that phase that's called a tribunal, where Warman will present his evidence, and Mr. Lemire will present his. So I'd like to get Mark to explain a little bit about his case to you this evening.
Oh, thanks very much, Paul. Well, my case started back in 2003 when Richard Warman filed two complaints, one against me and one against the Freedom Site. Those two have went through the Canadian Human Rights Commission and have now been passed over to the tribunal. One of the first things we did when it went to the tribunal phase is to question whether Mr. Warman can file human rights complaints against my domain name, freedomsite.org. After some motions back and forth, we did finally win one, and the case against the Freedom Site has now been withdrawn, and that is really the first victory we've ever had under the Canadian Human Rights Act. The other motion that we're doing is we're questioning the constitutionality of the Canadian Human Rights Act, Section 13 and Section 54. We put it that this act is draconian to have in a place like Canada. We have filed a large motion, hundreds of pages, questioning the constitutionality of it, questioning whether these type of laws should be on the books and speech, not just on the internet, but on a group of connected computers, can be regulated through an organization like the Canadian Human Rights Commission and the Canadian Human Rights Tribunal. I mean, the Canadian Human Rights Tribunal is nothing more than a quasi-judicial branch where truth is no defense, your intent is no defense. Literally, there are no defenses listed. So once you have been brought to one of the tribunal, so far no person in the history of Section 13.1 has been able to win one of these cases. So we're fighting back as hard as we can, taking on the constitutionality of it, and questioning the evidence that has been put forth by the Canadian Human Rights Commission in my case.
Well, Mark, back in 1990 in the John Ross Taylor case, the Supreme Court of Canada did rule that Section 13.1, which deals with what they call telephonic communication that was likely to expose any of the privileged groups to hatred or contempt, the Supreme Court ruled that that was constitutional. Now, 16 years later, you're challenging that. Why do you think that the results will be any better this time than they were in the John Ross Taylor case?
Well, in the John Ross Taylor case, it mostly surrounded telephonic answering machines and telephone communications. Since then, they've increased the scope of Section 13.1 to include the Internet and groups of connected computers, which could be private network, corporate intranets, even voice over IP communications, which is private communications between two people. The law is now so broad, it has no relevance to the old Section 13. It's now been expanded to cover literally everything, private and public communication on the Internet.
Hasn't there been a big increase in the punishments? I think one of the reasons the Supreme Court said that this was, well, it was a restriction of free speech, but it was justified, was that it was supposed to be remedial, and was not rather than punitive, and there were no fines possible under the old regime. What has changed between 1990 and today that makes you feel that the constitutional challenge, that the restrictions are indeed contrary to our Charter of Rights and Freedoms, that the challenge might succeed?
Well, back under the old provision, there was no ability to fine people. Under the new provisions now, they've added a new ground called retaliation, where a complainant can receive, I think, up to $40,000 or $50,000. Also, in terms of fines, the commission itself now can institute a fine of $10,000, up to $10,000 if you're found guilty at the Human Rights Tribunal. As well, if you name the complainant, that would add another $10,000. So you could possibly be looking at fines of up to $70,000, as well as a cease and desist order. And a cease and desist order is enforceable in the Federal Court of Canada and could end up in you having to spend a lot of jail time based on beliefs that you had or things that you might have posted on the internet.
Yes, I want to tell you that this is one of the most significant free speech cases in Canada, and I suppose that's why free speech organizations or civil liberties organizations like the Canadian Civil Liberties Association aren't interested in it. But that's also the reason why seeking intervener, or I guess they call it interested party status, in this battle is Doug Christie's Canadian Free Speech League and our Canadian Association for Free Expression. We believe this is a very, very important case, but I'd like to ask the victim in this case, Mark, to explain why you out there in cyberspace ought to be concerned about this too, and not just if you're a Canadian, but anywhere in the so-called free world. Mark, why should people be concerned about this?
Well, this act covers literally everybody in Canada who wants to post any opinions anywhere on computers, on the internet, and on private networks. This is a really scary piece of legislation backed up by the Canadian Human Rights Act that gives the commission power to do everything from seizing of your computer, monitoring of private information, logging of voice over IP chats that you might do. I mean, these people literally have complete authority over the internet to do anything they want. And as we've seen by all these cases that are working their way through the Human Rights Tribunal right now, they literally will go after anybody that disagrees with them or has a different opinion on a variety of topics like immigration, multiculturalism, you name it. Literally, law in this act falls to what people's feelings are. I mean, when you start regulating when somebody has hurt feelings over something that you might say, there's plenty of controversial topics in Canada, particularly immigration, multiculturalism, where having one side of an opinion could hurt or offend somebody on the other side. I mean, this act restricts freedom of speech and is the biggest restriction on freedom that Canada currently has. The hate law, section 319, the Criminal Code of Canada, at least offers defenses of truth and intent. You have the ability to call information. If what you're saying is true, then you could be found not guilty under the Canadian Human Rights Tribunal. You have no such defenses. Indeed, there are no defenses listed at all for a private individual. Whether it's true what you said, it's only a matter if it hurts somebody's feelings. And when we start getting into that kind of crazy law, we need to stand up as Canadians and fight against it.
Well, Section 13.1 of the Canadian Human Rights Act is certainly a mechanism whereby the Ottawa totalitarians are imposing political correctness on the little people in this country. The internet has been a tremendous opportunity, probably the greatest invention in mass media since Gutenberg's movable press, the type of movable type that allowed for books to be printed relatively cheaply. Now we have an opportunity for anybody to even just access a computer, to go online, to talk to other people, to publish his or her views. It's a tremendously open and democratic medium, and it's obviously something that those who want to, the thought control freaks in our society, want to clamp down on. Mark's battle is a very, very important one. The Canadian Association for Freedom of Expression has been very much involved with this from the beginning. Mark has been very, very frugal in fighting the battle, doing most of the research himself. He does have legal help, and he is going to run into expenses. He urgently needs $5,000 over the next 2 months, and we know a lot of you would like to help. Don Black has endorsed this battle. That's, of course, our host at Stormfront. Don's supporting this battle, and I know a lot of you are too. So if you want to help, please send your contribution to the Canadian Association for Free Expression. You don't have to spell that all out. CAFE is fine. Just write your check to CAFE. The mailing address is Box 332, Rexdale, Ontario. That's Rexdale, Ontario. Postal code is M9W5L3, and of course that's Canada, so if you would like to send your donation, do so, write a check, and on the check somewhere just put Mark Lemire, and it will go right into that fund. If you want to donate by Visa, then you can send your Visa number with expiry date and the sum you'd like to donate to that address, or if you'd like to contact us by email, just email me at paul@paulfromm.com, and that's P-A-U-L at P-A-U-L-F-R-O-M-M.com. Mark needs your support, and basically he's fighting for all of us in this. This isn't just a personal battle. Mark is one of the real internet pioneers in Canada. In some ways, Mark has done for Canada what Don Black has done for the United States. He has put the movement basically online in a time when many people were still struggling back there with typewriters. We can't let him down in this hour of need. Mark has a new product that might be of real interest to you, for those of you who'd like to show that you believe in free speech in a bit more public way, and I'd like to ask Mark to tell you about it.
Oh, thanks very much, Paul. Yes, the new thing that we have as a bit of a fundraiser is a T-shirt that we're putting out. On the front of the T-shirt, it's going to talk about the Canadian Human Rights Commission and our battle for freedom, hands off the Internet. And if you want to get one of those shirts, keep an eye on the Canadian Association for Free Expression's website. And on Stormfront, we're going to post a picture of what the shirt looks like. We're selling them for $20, which is with the postage. And These are real great things that we really need your help in this case. This is going to be a long battle, and you know how legal things go. It costs a lot of money for us to fight. And if we get this law struck down, if we get Section 13(1) of the Canadian Human Rights Act found to be unconstitutional, every single person that is currently awaiting their cases to go to the Canadian Human Rights Tribunal, some 12 or 13 or more people, all their cases would be gone if the law is found to be unconstitutional. So not only in this case are we fighting my case, but we're fighting the bigger constitutional question as to whether the government can regulate speech on the Internet, regulate private conversations on the Internet, private email. All of this falls under the Canadian Human Rights Act as it stands right now, and we say that that's wrong, and we're going to fight against it as long as we can.
The Canadian Human Rights Commission, particularly with Richard Warman as complainer-in-chief, has been making war on those people who are critical of the immigration invasion of this country, are critical of laws restricting free speech. Some of the victims coming up are Glenn Barr of British Columbia, who formed Western Canada for us, Richard Warman, and the hate squad in Edmonton have both boasted how they smashed this organization. And of course, that's the type of language you usually expect in some place like communist Cuba, where political organizations are regularly harassed and broken up by agents of the state. And also another person on the firing line is Melissa Gill of the Canadian Heritage Alliance, also being complained about by Richard Warman for postings on her website. Because in this country, if you dissent from political correctness, they are going to come after you. So that's really important that we get behind Mark on this. Help out if you can financially. Buy one of those T-shirts and let people know that you stand up for freedom of speech, and your position, like ours, is hands off the Internet. You can buy one of the T-shirts from us for $20. Send us a check to CAFE, Box 332, Rexdale, Ontario, M9W 5L3. And finally, Mark has brought out a booklet that's really attractive, has an excellent color picture of him on the cover, and has something that you'd find very interesting. I'll just get Mark to tell you about that.
Thanks very much, Paul. We brought out a booklet that details some of the case that I've been involved in, including the constitutional motion. The book is called In Defense of Freedom, and it's available up on the Freedom site, and the address for that is www.freedomsite.org. In that, we talk a little bit about what the Canadian Human Rights Act is, especially Section 13, how it's a danger to our freedoms in Canada. We also discuss what the Freedom Site is. It's been a website online since 1995, over 10 years now. And we in there, the complete constitutional motion is listed there, so you can read how the scope of this law and how repressive this law really can be.
Well, thank you very much, Mark. I urge you to help out. If you'd like to donate, to please send your donations. If you would like to get one of the T-shirts, again, you can order them for $20 from the Canadian Association for Free Expression at Box 332, Rexdale, Ontario, M9W5L3. Or if you would like a copy of Mark's booklet, send in $10. Until next time, urging you to join me in fighting to make this country a nation once again. This is Paul Fromm reporting from Toronto.
Are you interested in the cost of immigration to Canada? Do you want to know what Canadians really think about the rapid changes being imposed on us by our government's unpopular immigration policies? Each month, the Canadian Immigration Hotline looks at the polls and the scandals and at the crime brought about by Canada's immigration policies. A year subscription to this hard-hitting, meticulously researched publication costs just $16 a year. Send your subscription today to the Canadian Immigration Hotline, Box 332, Rexdale, Ontario, M9WSL3. That's postal code M9WSL3. For an audio tape copy of this show and two others of your choice, send a $5 donation to 152 Carleton Street, Suite 545, Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Postal code M5A2KO. Don't forget to tune in next week for another thought-provoking broadcast on Radio Freedom.